The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the latest Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN. Mike Side with CSNChicago.com. Blackhawks Insider, Tracy Myers. How you doing, Tracy?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. Before we get started, if you can't get enough of Chicago sports, visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to VividSeats.com/CSNShy. Well, a huge month of February came to a close on Sunday night against the Blues. Mm-hmm. Blackhawks go 9-1.
Yeah.
They score at least 4 goals in all 9 of those victories. Yeah. When you look back at it, what's impressed you most about the offensive production?
That it went from famine to feast the way it did. I mean, for at least the first half of the season, all we were talking about is nobody scoring. Or you're not getting it consistently. And the lines, of course. How long did we talk about the lines? So, it was all, at the beginning of the season, it was all Crawford all the time. And every now and then they would have an explosion offensively. And then they would have a game like Washington, and everybody thought, oh, dear God, this is where this team really is. Right. It's amazing how the right combos have brought this out in this team. And like they say, you know, you get one, then the floodgates open, but it's a confidence thing. I don't care how long these guys have been in the league, how good they are, you know, you lose that confidence when it's not working for you. But as the goals have come, the confidence has been up. I mean, you just see this team, even in that rotation, I mean, it's just so much more smooth and everybody knows where each other is. It is a complete 180 from what we saw at the beginning of the year.
7 players with at least 15 goals. I mean, I think that speaks volumes to the depth of this lineup.
Yeah.
And you talk about it. There's bottom 6 production. Mm-hmm. That Hartman-Carroll line looks fantastic. I know Hinostroza went down, but they've looked really good.
Yeah.
Who's been out there with that? And then I think Hossa's situation with Kruger. We saw Yurko, and I'll get your thoughts on that. But, we're seeing production in waves from every line.
Yeah.
And we always talk about confidence of players. You're with this team 24/7. Have you felt the confidence of a room? I mean, just it seems so dramatic.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that's the thing that, like you were talking about, the balance is there. When you've got Ryan Hartman, who has 15 goals, who is on your fourth line, and it's not a knock on him.
Right.
The first two lines are doing so well, and you're not going to change that right now. First of all, you never change the second line, at least for the rest of the year. Top line is got a great, and same for Marian Hossa. 22 goals, and he's on the third line because there's just not a spot. I want to go back, first of all, and say I was one of the people at the beginning of the year that said, listen, the forward depth isn't what it could be. I was kind of wrong. For some of these guys, I think it was just them growing into roles, and some of the young guys grew up a lot quicker than I thought they would. But the other thing is, and maybe part of it is we've been spoiled with some of these teams we have seen, 2013, 2015. I mean, that was insane depth. This is a pretty solid depth team, but there's no doubt you walk in that room now. First of all, it's a very happy room. There's no angst. Even when, you know, things were a little shakier at the beginning of the year trying to figure things out, just a great exuberance, a great amount of, I don't want to say relaxation, but there's a calm in that room. And I think the young guys help that. You've got this wave of young guys bringing this energy that feeds veterans who've been here all year.
Right.
For a while.
It's a team, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so like at the beginning of the year, we just didn't know how the 6 rookies were going to fit in.
Right.
And I mean, that's kind of uncharted waters because every year there'd been like 1 or 2, maybe 3 gigs that were even open.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's an established team. It's got its core.
Sure.
And so at the beginning of the year, you looked in, and these guys are just trying to, as Stan always says, they're just trying to stay in the NHL.
Sure.
And you've got the guys that have won the 3 Cups. Mm-hmm. They're established in their life. The young guys just trying to hook on. And But as everybody starts to produce, then those young guys mature. And if it's like a Nick Schmaltz who had to go down to Rockford in December and then come back up, and his confidence flourishes, and then that helps Tave's situation. You see that, you know, the established guys look like, okay, they're no longer rookies.
Right.
They've been with us now all season.
Right.
They know the drill. Mm-hmm. They're helping us win games.
Yeah.
They're helping me become, you know, the all-star caliber player that I'm used to being as well. So it's really been cool to watch, mm-hmm. to see this team mature together, the young and the old.
And I'll go back to what Patrick Kane said earlier in the year when we were fielding or asking a lot of questions about the young guys. He goes, it's not about the veteran guys and the young guys. He said, we all need to be a cohesive unit. You know, as this year goes on, it's about everybody contributing. And there's not going to be this divide of the veterans have to do this and the young guys have to do this. We are a team. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody is on the same level, regardless. And the expectations were the same for everybody because it's the Blackhawks' expectations.
Yeah.
Individual expectations aside, but this team is raised a certain level over the last couple of years, and you know what you do coming in. And for guys like a Ryan Hartman and a Tanner Caro, I think it's helped that they've had little visits up here in the past. Caro, I think, was up here for 11 or 12 games. Hartman's been up here and there. And the other thing is Ryan Hartman changed his game a lot. What worked in the AHL was not going to work up here. And he got that. So it's been a maturity, like you said, with those guys. And it's been pretty impressive to watch because I'll admit it's happened a lot faster than I thought it was going to.
Jonathan Toews, 22 points now in his last 14 games, six-game point streak. How much of Toews' production surge is on John? Mm-hmm. How much of it is the combination of Nick Schmaltz maturing, Richard Panik, who's, you know, honestly been Toews' most consistent line mate since last postseason, really, if you look at it. But is it a combo? What is it?
I think it's a combo, but, you know, you look back over the last year and a half with Toews, and up until, I was looking at the numbers. He put up just fine numbers last year, but it was just finding the line mates, which was just a problem all year. This year, I do think it's a combo. I mean, earlier on in the year, he was fine with the rest of his game, but you could tell he was down about the production. Getting paid $8 million a year, you know.
He's prideful, right?
Absolutely.
I think he went to L.A. appreciative.
Sure.
But he felt bad that, like, he was representing a team that he knew there were guys in that room that were more deserving and hosts a twilight of his career, things like that. I think he felt a little bad, but I think he's come and that's like the pride factor kicking in.
Oh, totally. And then you mix it in, like you said, him and Panik, I think we're always on the same page because they both have that same drive to the net style. You know, Panik, that's his wheelhouse, is 5 feet within the net. Then you work in Schmaltz, who, I mean, the difference between him pre-Rockford and post-Rockford is astounding. It really is. But now you've got a kid with confidence who knows, okay, in this instance, I got to hold it.
Yep.
In this instance, I've got to let him know that I'm around. I think it was up in Minnesota where he said, you know, I'm just yelling, banging my stick on the ice to Toews, get me the puck, because he knew he had a shot. You didn't see that in October and November from that kid because he was the kid thinking, oh, God, I got to get it to Toews as often as possible.
Right, right.
The Taavo Teravainen syndrome from last year. You can't do that. You know, you're up here and getting that chance for a reason. You know, so even if you've got to play in your mind, okay, I'm back at North Dakota as the guy, you know, and I've got to think like the guy. You know, even though I've got a lot more, high-caliber talent around me, I can't stop playing my game just because I'm on a different level.
We've talked a lot about, you know, Ryan Hartman, mm-hmm. Schmaltz. How about Tanner Caro? Filled in for Kruger when Kruger was injured, and he won himself a job. He hasn't left.
Yeah.
Has his play on that fourth line impressed you?
He really has. When you saw him, it helped that he had a couple guys that he knew up here. You know, him and Hinostroza are good friends, line mates last year. Him and Hartman, good friends, line mates last year. So, and Hartman spoke of this earlier this season. He said, when you know a guy from past experience, he said, it just keeps you from having to think when you're out there. You know what side a guy prefers. You know where to throw that pass. That take that thinking right out of it.
Right.
And for some of these young guys, certainly it helps. Caro is, he's got a little bit of that fearless factor. Gives you another center who can win some faceoffs. Pretty good vision. I like his overall game. And, another one who benefited, I think, from a little experience up here last year. He knew what it was going to take. And Ted Dent told me earlier this year, because Caro became a father in November, he said the difference from him before he became a dad and after, he said, and Caro spoke of this too, he has something else to play for now.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good point.
This is a very important responsibility. It's not just him playing for his career and his wife. He's got a child now, so if it's come through in his game, well, good for the Blackhawks.
Tomáš Jurco is playing for a contract.
Yeah.
Wasn't playing much for Detroit, a healthy scratch quite a bit this season. Wanted out. Again, going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Now he's with fellow Slovakian Marian Hossa. Yeah. Just your thoughts on that move when we got word of it on Friday.
You know, as somebody posted it on Twitter right away, it goes, it's not like Stan ever found a Slovakian miscast guy and turned him into something here. Does he become another Ponic? Who knows? That turned out pretty well.
Yeah, it's eerily similar,
right? For a minor league deal, which is what that was at the time.
Yeah, no.
It's pretty impressive. So with Jurco, it's going to take him a little more time, because even though Ponic was playing in the minor leagues, he was still playing on a regular basis. So it's going to take Jurco, I think, a little bit longer. It doesn't hurt that he has a guy like Hossa. At the end of his first practice over the weekend, Hossa had him over at the dry erase board, and he was showing him some things on the board. I don't know if it was, just different schemes for 5-on-5 or what have you, but not a bad guy to learn from.
Sure.
So, to be on a line with that guy can certainly help his development, but there's no doubt it's going to take him a little bit of time, and I think the Blackhawks are willing to give it to him.
Stan Bowman said at the Tomáš Jurco meeting with the media that he doesn't anticipate making any more moves. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll ask you that question coming up when the Hawks Talk podcast continues.
CSN Sports Talk Live podcast brings you the freshest takes and boldest insights on the hottest topics of the day.
David Kaplan leads the conversation with a rotating panel of writers, reporters, and personalities.
Don't miss a single episode. Subscribe at csnchicago.com/podcasts today.
If you travel out of the area for work, no worries. Take the Blackhawks on the go, no matter where you are within the continental United States, that is. Stream every CSN Blackhawks game live online at csnchicago.com and with the NBC Sports app on your mobile device or tablet.
It's sports. It's social. It's viral.
It's Luke Stuckmeyer and Layla Rahimi, and it's the Next Generation Sports Show.
In the Loop, every night at 6:30, 10, and 10:30 on CSN Chicago.
And as soon as the show ends, turn to Facebook Live for the after show.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast with Tracy Myers from CSNChicago.com. Before we talk more trade deadline stuff, how comfortable are you with this team defensively right now?
I still think they're in better shape than they were last year.
Yes.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. The wild card is, and I don't think Jarmolson is, it's a serious injury. I really do think, okay, you tweak something, let's hold you out.
Right.
And because you need to get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know that. But I think 6-7 stronger than they were. You know, Michael Kempney, I think, has been very good this season. I know he's had a couple hiccups there. And Trevor Van Riemsdyk was playing better, had a rough night against St. Louis, but, better. Brian Campbell has been steady. I think it's a much more from 1-7, more reliable group than it was last year. Now, do they want to do anything tweak-wise? I don't think so, because Bowman talked about it the other night. He's very happy with what he's got, even in the minors. There's no doubt. I think the defense is much better than it was last year.
The Wild acquired Martin Hanzel from the Coyotes on Sunday for a first-round pick in the upcoming draft, a second-round pick in 2018, and a conditional pick in 2019.
Yeah.
I don't know what else they gave up, but that is a boatload to give up for a guy who, it's not like he's Kane or something like that.
No, he's a solid player, mm-hmm. and I think that conditional can turn into a second round.
Yeah,
is that what it?
Yeah.
I think his career high is 16 goals in a season. You look at the team that he's joining. Minnesota doesn't need him to be a top guy. You know, maybe it's like the Vermette deal with the Blackhawks a couple years ago. It bolsters their depth. I still think that's a lot to give up. You know, and the problem is that we start setting the bar now with who is left. And it's going to drive prices up. And, you know, there are going to be some desperate teams, clearly. I don't foresee the Blackhawks being that team, especially with what they're doing right now. Stan Bowman told us in the end of January in San Jose, this was over just about a month ago, I have a really good feeling about this team. I really feel they're starting to round into shape. I really feel that as the rest of the season goes on, we're going to be in good shape. 9 of 10 later.
Yeah.
Obviously, he had a pretty good pulse.
And I think back, I don't think he said that a lot over the years. It's not like it's like, you know, the boy who cried wolf to saying every year he's got a good feeling.
No.
Like, and that's why I think he feels like, I don't need to make a move.
Right.
I'm going to do my due diligence, but I don't need to, where in years past, he felt he had to.
Well, and he mentioned that on the conference call the other night with the Yurko move. He said, listen, we've made bigger moves in the past, you know, last year being one of them, because I felt that there were deficiencies. You know, he doesn't feel that way. And the emergence of this four-line rotation is part of the reason why things have started to fall into place. And there aren't those gaping holes of constant trying to find a line past the second line like there were last year.
As we record this podcast, the Hawks are 1 point back of the Wild. The Wild play tonight, being Monday night. Do you still look at this as, you know, that's the team to beat now that you've seen everybody in the West? You know, L.A. is certainly, you know, they've got Jonathan Quick back.
Yeah. And Ben Bishop.
And Ben Bishop, which is an interesting move that they made because I just don't think they think Quick can play, you know, every night that you would expect from a number one coming back from the groin injury.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's do you look at it going through Minnesota between the Hawks as the two teams to beat in the West?
As of now, and you know, there's always that asterisk you put by Minnesota. Listen, the regular season Minnesota that I've seen this year is a different team. You know, this team, and we saw it their last game in Minnesota, they just keep coming.
Yep.
I mean, there's no quit in that team. That is a four-line team. A lot of speed, a lot of skill, and they just keep coming at you because, again, the confidence, it's rolling right now. And then you think, okay, but once the playoffs start, you know, how does that affect things? You know, the playoffs are as much a mental fortitude check as they are a physical one, you know.
And they've got a big hurdle. I mean, Bruce Boudreau has a big hurdle mentally. You know what I mean? Like, the reason, I mean, he's got the magic touch.
Yeah.
When it comes to regular season, everywhere he's been, and this is no different.
Right.
But he's got a hurdle to get over. You know, can he coach a game seven? Can he take a team with so much promise over, you know, the current, you know, tough team to beat in the Blackhawks?
I mean, with the Wild, if they finish in first, let's say they finish in first, and you know, there's a chance of meeting the Blackhawks in the second round, they can't look past whoever they get in the first, you know, especially if it ends up being Los Angeles. I mean, listen, I know that the Kings aren't the team that they were a couple of years ago, but it's still the Kings.
Yeah.
It's still a team that whenever they just sneak into the playoffs is always one of those teams you just have to fear, because that's what they do. And they've got enough guys from the teams in the recent past that, again, much like the Blackhawks, know how to win.
All right. You kind of tipped your hand a little bit, but I'm going to one final question.
Sure.
As we approach that March 1st deadline.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to add a defenseman at the deadline?
I mean, as it stands, I think it's doubtful. You know, again, you never know if they can find something on the cheap that doesn't cost them too much. Why not? You know, you can never have enough depth at defensemen. I've heard that every year I've been here, from Quenneville and Mr. Bowman. So it's possible, but I would be surprised. Actually, let me take that back. I would not be surprised if the Blackhawks stood pat. I wouldn't be surprised if they made one more little tweaky move. But, you know, if anybody who's still thinking, oh, they've got to top what Minnesota did or anything like that, no. That's not what you do. It's not, hey, it's your move now. This is not how the trade deadline works. You go by what your team needs, not what the other team is doing. I understand why Minnesota's swinging for the fences. They haven't done this before.
Right.
The Blackhawks have, and they realize what they've got, and, okay, you know, we're going to try all we can to get this, but we don't have to swing for the fences. We're doing all right.
Should be interesting. You can follow Tracy Myers on Twitter, of course, csnchicago.com. She'll be all over the Blackhawks moves as we get ready for that trade deadline on March 1st, on Wednesday. Thanks, Tracy, for joining us this week. We'll talk to you later on in the week.
Sounds good. Thank you.
If you can't get enough of Chicago sports, visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy. That's going to do it for the Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle. Catch you next time.